Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, written with Friedrich Engels and first published in 1848, is one of the most influential political pamphlets in modern history. Produced for the Communist League during a wave of European upheaval, it presents a sweeping interpretation of history as a struggle between social classes and argues that capitalism reshapes every aspect of life through markets, wage labor, and constant competition. The text is concise but ambitious. It describes the rise of the bourgeoisie, the creation of a propertyless working class, and the pressures that drive recurring economic crises. It also outlines the goals of communists within broader labor movements and responds to common criticisms of socialist ideas. Whether read as political theory, a historical artifact, or a provocation, the manifesto offers a framework for thinking about power, inequality, and economic change. Its language and claims continue to spark debate because they connect everyday work and wealth to larger systems and conflicts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Rather than treating history as a sequence of great leaders or isolated events, the manifesto emphasizes structural forces, who owns productive property, who must work to survive, and how those relationships create tension. This perspective reframes institutions such as the state and the legal system as tools that tend to stabilize a prevailing economic order, especially when that order benefits the dominant class. The value of this topic is not limited to agreement or disagreement with Marx. It offers readers a method for analyzing patterns behind recurring issues such as workplace conflict, labor rights, and inequality. The manifesto also stresses that class categories are not eternal. They emerge from specific economic arrangements and can be transformed when those arrangements change. By foregrounding class struggle, the text challenges readers to examine how material interests shape public debates and to consider why certain reforms succeed, stall, or are reversed. Secondly, how capitalism transforms society and produces instability, the manifesto portrays capitalism as uniquely dynamic. It credits the bourgeoisie with unleashing unprecedented productivity, expanding trade, and revolutionizing technology and social life. At the same time, it argues that this constant revolutionizing of production brings disruption and insecurity. Traditional bonds, local economies, and inherited social roles are dissolved and replaced by relationships mediated through money and market exchange. Marx links this to a distinctive kind of instability. Competition pressures firms to expand, cut costs, and seek new markets, which can intensify exploitation and generate periodic crises when production outpaces profitable demand. The text also suggests that capitalism creates global interdependence, pulling regions into a world market and spreading similar forms of work, discipline, and consumer culture. This topic is important because it explains why the manifesto remains relevant beyond its original century. Readers can connect its analysis to debates about globalization, automation, financial shocks, and the concentration of corporate power. Even for those who reject Marx's conclusions, the manifesto provides a sharp description of capitalism as a system that thrives on change. It repeatedly produces social dislocation, economic volatility, and political conflict. Thirdly, the making of the proletariat and the logic of exploitation. Another major focus is the emergence of the proletariat, workers who do not own the means of production and therefore must sell their labor power for wages. The manifesto argues that as capitalist industry expands, it reorganizes labor into factory-like discipline, reduces workers' autonomy, and turns many forms of skill into standardized tasks. This process, Marx claims, increases dependence on wages and strengthens the bargaining power of employers, especially when unemployment or labor oversupply keeps wages low. The proletariat is portrayed as growing in size and cohesion, pushed together in large workplaces and cities, and increasingly aware of shared conditions. The manifesto also highlights how exploitation is not presented as individual cruelty but as a structural feature of a system, where profit depends on paying workers less than the value they produce. The result is an antagonistic relationship between capital and labor that cannot be fully resolved by minor adjustments, in Marx's view, because the underlying property relations remain intact. This topic helps readers interpret modern disputes over wages, gig work, workplace surveillance, unions, and the distribution of productivity gains. It also explains why Marx sees workers' organization and political action as logical responses to economic pressures rather than purely moral appeals. Fourthly, what communists aim for and how the program is framed. The manifesto defines communists not as a separate party with isolated interests, but as a current within broader working class movements, committed to clarifying goals and pushing struggles towards systemic change. It argues that the immediate battles of workers, such as organizing, resisting wage cuts, and seeking political rights, are connected to a larger objective, transforming ownership and control of productive resources. Marx and Engels frame communism as the abolition of bourgeois property relations, not the elimination of all personal possessions. They also stress that ideas about freedom, rights, and morality are shaped by material conditions, so a new economic foundation would reshape social life, family structures, and education. The text is often associated with a list of transitional measures proposed for advanced countries at the time, emphasizing public power over key economic levers. Readers can approach this program as a historical proposal tied to 19th century conditions, as well as a template for thinking about how political movements translate critique into demands. This topic is useful because it shows the manifesto moving from diagnosis to strategy. It links analysis of capitalism to organizational aims, coalition politics, and the claim that political power is inseparable from economic power. Lastly, engaging rival socialisms and answering common objections. A substantial portion of the manifesto is devoted to distinguishing communism from other socialist and reform currents circulating in the 1840s. Marx critiques approaches he views as nostalgic, utopian, or aimed at preserving older social orders rather than confronting capitalist dynamics. By classifying and challenging these alternatives, the text reveals its priorities: historical analysis over moral preaching, mass political struggle over elite planning, and an emphasis on modern industrial society as the arena where change will occur. The manifesto also anticipates objections that communism would destroy individuality, family life, culture, or incentives. It responds by arguing that what counts as individuality and morality under capitalism is already constrained by economic necessity and class privilege. Whether or not the reader finds these replies convincing, this part of the work is a lesson in political argumentation. It shows how a movement attempts to define itself against neighboring ideologies while appealing to potential supporters who fear social upheaval. For contemporary readers, this topic offers tools to navigate debates among reformists, social democrats, radicals, and liberals, and to understand how disagreements about goals often stem from different diagnoses of what causes inequality and crisis in the first place. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a foundational text in political philosophy, modern history, and economic critique, including students, activists, policy-minded professionals, and anyone trying to understand the language that shaped labor movements and 20th century politics. It benefits the reader by providing a clear lens for analyzing how work, ownership, and power interact. Even if you disagree with Marx, the manifesto trains you to ask structural questions: who gains from a given arrangement, how crises emerge, and why social conflicts persist despite reforms. It is also short, making it easier to revisit and compare with later thinkers and real-world outcomes. Compared with many similar books on socialism or inequality, the Communist Manifesto is distinctive for its historical sweep and its direct connection between analysis and political strategy. Secondary summaries often soften its claims or detach them from the revolutionary context, while this text shows the argument in its original, forceful form. Buying and reading it gives you a reference point for evaluating later debates about capitalism, globalization, class, and the meaning of social change. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.